Good evening, and once again, welcome to the Hour of the Time. This is the only hour that ever was or ever will be. Indeed, folks, it is the most important hour in your entire life. For during this hour, you will decide your future, and thus our collective futures. Tonight's program, folks, is dedicated to you, the listeners, who have helped make this possible. Now, we did this. We took this new time slot, Monday through Friday, 1 hour each of those nights immediately following Tom Valentine, because we believe that if we can get help and make this show work for 2 months, it'll become self-supporting. So we need your help. And tonight, we're going to read a lot of letters from readers. We're also going to ask you to make donations to keep us on the air for the first 2 months so that the show will have a chance to become self-supporting. So stay tuned, have pencil and paper, and pay attention. We're now looking for sponsors. I will not take any sponsors who advertise any product or any book or anything that I myself would not recommend or use or do not use. Now, understand that if you call us and say that you want to sponsor this program, we're going to have to take a look at everything that you want to advertise. And if it's something that we would not recommend or would not use ourselves, we will not do that. You'll also have to understand that if we agree to take you on as an advertiser and advertise your products because it is something that we would recommend or would use ourselves, that we will not entertain any suggestions as to what we should or should not say on this program. And the first time that anyone who sponsors this program ever attempts anything like that, we will drop them like a hot potato. We will not be dictated to by our sponsors or by financial interests. And if I have to get out and dig ditches to support this program, I will do it. My wife and I are putting every single penny that we have into this, folks, so that we can come to you 1 hour a night, 5 nights a week, in prime time, late night, immediately following Tom Valentine. In fact, it will be 9 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and midnight Eastern Standard Time. So, we are not only putting all of our money into this, folks, my wife and I, my family, but we are also selling most of our worldly possessions to make this work. Our goal is to come up with 2 months advance airtime. We've got to have 2 months advance airtime for this show to become self-supporting, and that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money, folks. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you how much it is. It's so much. I can't believe it. But I know this. Every time I've done something right in my life, everything that I've ever needed to accomplish it has appeared when I needed it. You see, I place my trust in God. God is somebody that most people have forgotten and shunted aside and said he doesn't exist. Well, I know that he exists. And I know that people who do right are taken care of when they do right. We're doing the right thing by doing this, by bringing this show to you 1 hour a night, 5 nights a week, immediately following Tom Valentine. So we told WWCR to give us the time slot, and we're going to come up with the money one way or another. We believe, and I believe this sincerely in my heart, folks, that after 2 months, the show will be self-supporting and will not need any contributions or outside help from anyone else. But I can assure you, if it ever does, I'll let you know. Now, I always give you solid benefit for your money anytime that you send any money my way, whether it's to purchase my book or any of the videotapes that we have produced or attending any of my lectures. Yeah, I'm the only one in the world standing up to talk for 6 hours for the small fee that people pay to come and see my lectures. Most people would charge you $400 or $500 for that, and do. And I don't charge $25,000 to get up and talk to people like some others do, some of whom I consider to be traitors to this country, shredded the Constitution, engaged in the exchange of arms for drugs and swapping hostages for arms and all kinds of stuff like that. And people still pay them $25,000 to get up and hear them talk. Folks, in my estimation, you're either for the Constitution or you're against it. If you're for it, you cannot subvert it, cannot go against it, must support it in every way. If you don't cry, you did it for patriotic reasons to me, because I don't buy that. If you were a patriot, you would not subvert the Constitution. Anyway, I'm off on a little tangent here, because those kinds of things really affect me deeply, folks, very deeply. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. I want to thank all of you who wrote and called WWCR. I ask you not to call them anymore, but if you want to write letters, that's fine. You can also write letters to me. As tonight, every once in a while, every week or two, or maybe three, whatever, when the letters pile up, I'm going to read the letters that we get on the air, and I'm going to do that tonight. But before we start, I want to ask you to help us make this dream, this opportunity come true. Please sit down right now and write out a check, or get a money order. Make it out to WWCR, not to me. This is going to go to pay for airtime. We need 2 months advance airtime to make this show work so that it can become self-supporting and we never have to do this again. We hope. Make your checks or money orders out to WWCR. If you want to see this show stay on 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, immediately following Tom Valentine, then help us out. Make your checks out to WWCR. Send them to me, William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde. That's spelled C-A-M-P. Verde, V as in Victor, E-R-D-E. Camp Verde, 86322. That's P.O. Box 3299. Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Make your checks or money orders out to WWCR, not to me, and send them to me, William Cooper, at P.O. Box 3299. Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Now, if you'd like to talk to Stan about this, you can call him at 602-567-6109. That's 602-567-6109. If you want to see this happen, if you want to make this opportunity, this dream come true, please donate as much as you can possibly afford. We need a lot of money. We need 2 months advance airtime. It's a lot of money. I'm telling you, folks, we were barely making it just one night a week. But we believe that we're supposed to do this, and it's the right thing to do, so we've told WWCR that we want the airtime, and we've got it. And we're going to take sponsors. Just remember, we've got to support your product. If we believe your product is a good product, if it's something that we would use ourselves, then we'll take you as a sponsor. If your product is not something that we believe in or that we would use ourselves or that we agree with, we cannot take you as a sponsor. And in no case will we ever listen to any sponsor who attempts to tell us what to say or what not to say during this broadcast. In fact, the first indication that any sponsor ever tries to do that, we will drop that sponsor like a hot potato immediately and try to pick somebody up. Or, if necessary, I'll go out and dig ditches to support this program, folks, if I have to. So, my family and I are giving up everything to make this a reality, and I'm willing to do anything to make it work. Now, if I'm willing to do that, folks, I hope you're willing. If you like this show, if you derive real benefit from it, I sincerely hope that you will dig down into your pockets and contribute as much as you possibly can. Please do not send cash. Please make all checks or money orders out to WWCR, not to me, and not to anyone else, to WWCR. Send them to me, William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299, Camp, spelled C-A-M-P, Verde, spelled V as in Victor, E-R-D-E. Camp Verde, 86322. What is the solid benefit that you will get from your donation? Folks, you will get 20 times each month the information that we were able to put out previously, only one night a week. Now, if you're a free-thinking individual who wants and needs information to be able to make decisions about your future, then you need to support this show. For all of you who have already sent in money to help make this possible, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, my family thanks you. All of the CADGI members thank you. In fact, I believe that every free-thinking individual in this country will thank you if they only knew who you were. My policy is not to read entire names, though, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I'm going to read some letters now. Remember, this program is dedicated to you, all of you who made this possible, all of you who want to help, all of you who are going to send in some money to make it possible, and everybody at WWCR, we thank you deeply. Well, the first letter is from Dennis in Los Angeles. Dear Mr. Cooper, please find enclosed herewith a copy of the September 10th, 1992 INSLAW report that just came across my desk. You probably have already seen this, and I have. We have two copies already, in fact. But in any event, I wanted to get it to you as I called Stan B. today, Stan Barrington, and he didn't know if you had a copy of it. I almost fell out of my chair when I read the report. People need to know. Please feel free to call me should you have any questions. Sincerely, Dennis. Dennis, thank you for sending the copy. We already had two, but don't ever, any of you, ever stop sending information, because even if we have six or seven copies, it's better than not having any. Don't ever assume that we have anything, that we have everything, or that we have what you have, because in many instances, we don't. This next letter is from Willie in Tucson. And Willie is a Native American Indian, and I'm part Native American Indian. I get a lot of letters from American Indians. Dear Mr. William Cooper, God bless you, sir, for your good work and wonderful book, Behold a Pale Horse. The reason I'm writing is that I noted on page 2 of your book, to quote you, quote, I believe, therefore, that a grand game of chess is being played on a level that we can barely imagine, unquote. I would like you to have these copies of my rough draft entitled Chess Game. Sincerely, Willie. Thank you, Willie. I will sit down and I will read this. Not quite sure exactly what it's about, but I will read it. I read everything that I get, and I try to answer most of the letters that I get, but I can't always do that. You see, I don't have a big staff. I don't have a research staff. I do the research here myself. I don't have a secretary. I don't have people who do filing. I don't have any of those people. It's just me and Annie. And Annie's busy taking care of little Pooh in the household most of the time while I'm doing the work to bring in the money and to do what I do, which is research, lecture, disseminate information, and write. And I decided to do that when the government made it impossible, or I should say the secret agencies of the government, who have been infiltrated and are under the complete control of the secret societies, made it impossible for me to work for anybody else. I decided, well, I will only work for myself from now on. And since you've made it so difficult for me, I will devote my life into exposing you. And that's what I'm doing. This next letter is from Charles in Hughesville, Pennsylvania. I have been aware of William Cooper well before his radio show. I have tapes of some of his lectures and was extremely happy to be able to listen to him weekly on your radio station. Please keep him on the air, as I look forward every week to hear what he has to say. Thank you, Charlie. Well, thank you, Charlie, from all of us here. That was sent to WWCR Radio. This next letter is extremely interesting, and this is the kind of stuff that I love to get in the mail. In fact, I love to get... I'm an information junkie, in fact, if you haven't figured that out by now. I thrive on information. My personal library, folks, is bigger than most city libraries in small towns across this country, and it's very specialized. So, anyway, this comes from... Who does this come from? Anyway, I don't know who this comes from. Well, it doesn't appear to be signed. That's very interesting. Anyway, let me read this to you. I came across an interesting coincidence regarding an engineer who worked for the Northrop Aircraft Company. That's the Northrop Aircraft Company. In its formative years, a Mr. Thomas H. Quayle, spelled Q-U-A-Y-L-E, and a news story about the Vice President Dan Quayle heading some sort of committee that administers the workings of all black programs for the military. The Tom Quayle above worked for Jack Northrop right from the beginning of the company, and most probably on all the original flying wings, or the original stealth designs. And folks, did you know that all of the original flying wings that were in good working condition, there was nothing wrong with them, were ordered, dismantled, and destroyed? Apparently, they were way beyond their time, and it wasn't time for them to emerge yet. In addition to his working for the company Northrop in Washington, D.C., and at Dayton, Ohio, where a lot of secret work was done, work that may have been the basis for some of the projects that now fall under the cover of black programs that now are administered by Vice President Dan Quayle's office. I don't know if there is any relationship, that is, family, between the two men, but it is an unusual name, and would not hurt to check it out. You can find some reference to Tom Quayle in a book by Ted Coleman titled Jack Northrop and the Flying Wing. In addition to the flying wing's ability to avoid radar detection, some early experimental flying wing models, or the original stealth aircraft, which is what they were, and other circular aircraft, the Arup S-2 and the V-173, exhibited some remarkable in-flight capabilities. Examples, quotes from Ted Coleman's book. Quote, approaching military bases undetected by radar. That's on page 120, 170, and 237. Quote, unbelievable rate of climb and unbelievable performance, unquote. That's on page 120. Quote, in-flight wobble, particularly at high speed, unquote, page 119. Folks, these are all the most reported characteristics and sightings of alleged unidentified flying objects during the 1950s and 60s and 70s and 80s and right up to this very date. Remember, I'm the one who told the world that first, they're real. Second, that at least some of them are owned and operated by secret agencies of the United States government, and that I believe they're being used as a ploy to create an artificial enemy from outer space to help implement a one-world totalitarian socialist government, which will protect us from that threat. Aren't you scared? In some sightings, these objects were said to be capable of making turns at such high speeds that a human pilot would not be able to tolerate, or gravity generated. Most military contractors in the aircraft field have been experimenting with radio-controlled drone aircraft since World War II. These can be controlled from a ground station and made to perform some extraordinary maneuvers that humans cannot tolerate. The various displays of changing colored lights reported on some of these objects might only be an aid to the ground observer controller, who can tell from the changing colors the position attitude of the craft and better control it. Or it could be just to confuse the rest of us, or scare us, or make us think that this thing is from outer space instead of from the Earth because it doesn't use the normal light pattern of aircraft, which we are all familiar with. Mr. Cooper, these were my thoughts on the matter some time ago when I lived in the United States. We don't receive many such reports here, and I have lost interest. But I would imagine over time, the individuals who are putting on these displays have become more adept and imaginative. It is obvious they are trying to catch someone's attention. And that someone, folks, of course, is us. So, as I said, I love to get communications like that. Next one is from Joe and Heather in Midvale, Utah. We are writing to you concerning, this is to WWCR, we are writing to you concerning Bill Cooper's The Hour of the Time. Of all the programming on WWCR, The Hour of the Time is our favorite. We find this show thought-provoking and eye-opening. The information discussed on this program is necessary and truly something every American should be informed about. We have yet to disprove any information we have received via Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time. Even though I have to be at work early Monday morning, my wife and I stay up late just for Bill Cooper's broadcast. By all means, keep the show on the air. Sincerely, Joe and Heather. Thank you, Joe and Heather, for those kind, very kind words. And keep listening. This next letter is from Wes. And where are you at, Wes? Let me see. Columbia, South Carolina. I clipped this article out of my local paper since it seems to be unique as of right now. I thought you'd like to see it. Is this the future of our National Guard? Perhaps they would like to extend their role further to include Christmas parade security, our ball game security, our mall security, or draw your own conclusions, signed Wes. Well, let's see what this clipping is, folks. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Guard tests anti-drug parole in Sumter. And this is from the Metro Region section of the state. That's the name of the newspaper published in Columbia, South Carolina. Sunday, December 6th, 1992. Oh, that's the night that we aired the new FDIC regs. Anyway, this says, Cooperative Program is first effort in South Carolina. For the first time in South Carolina, armed National Guard personnel patrolled crime-troubled neighborhoods in Sumter this weekend in an experimental anti-drug program that might be expanded to other cities. Now, you never saw that on the 6 o'clock news, did you? You never saw it on network television, and you never read it in your local newspaper, yet this is a blatant violation of the Constitution of the United States of America. There was no declared national emergency. There was no declared state emergency. Yet here's the National Guard patrolling civilian neighborhoods in Sumter, South Carolina. Why is the media suppressing this, and why is the Guard out acting unconstitutionally patrolling civilian neighborhoods in an American city? These things only happened in the Soviet Union, folks. Well, what they're doing is they're testing your reaction, and they're finding out if the public is ready to capitulate and give up their constitution and give up their creator-endowed rights. And when you put up with this with no protest and you accept it, then you are telling those who would take over the world that you are ripe for the plucking, sheeple. Bah. Bah. Sumter Police Chief Harold Johnson asked the National Guard to help patrol 35 areas in the city on Friday, Saturday, and this morning after police conducted drug sweeps in those neighborhoods earlier in the week. Drug sweep, folks. Throwing the Fourth Amendment even farther down in the trash heap and stomping on it and setting fire to it and ripping it to shreds. Johnson said he turned to the National Guard because he didn't have enough police officers to cover the large area. He said he wanted to show residents that police will work with them to eliminate crime in their neighborhoods. You see how they've twisted a blatant violation of your creator-endowed rights, the protections guaranteed to you under the Constitution, and have said that he wanted to show residents that police will work with them to eliminate crime in their neighborhoods. That's crap, folks. And if you buy it, then you'll deserve what you get. And there's something else you should be asking about this incident. Who gave the mayor or the police chief authority to call up the National Guard to patrol the streets of a city? Thank you, Wes, for sending us this. I think we can make a lot of hay with this little article here. Let me just put it all in one spot and so that I can get back to it. This is things like this are important. You may not think that they are, but they are, folks. Any subversion of our Constitution is extremely important, more than you will probably understand, except for those of you who really understand, as I do, what that document means to us and to the world. Those of you in foreign countries always wonder why it is I concentrate so much upon this country and the Constitution. Well, once you've studied the Constitution and study history, you'll realize that that document is the only document in the history of the world that ever truly set man free. And that if you're not an American citizen, you're not truly free and never have been. You don't truly have freedom of speech. You don't have the freedom to keep and bear arms. You don't have hardly any of the freedoms that we have. You see, we carry the torch of freedom, and if we drop that torch, if this nation falls, if the Constitution of the United States of America is destroyed, the human race, once again, will be enslaved and will become the property of someone else. That's why I do it. I'm not slighting those of you in foreign countries, foreign to the United States and the rest of the world. On the contrary, I would like to set you free. I would like for you to understand just what this is all about, because I know that you haven't been taught it in your schools, just as they've quit teaching it in our schools. The Constitution of the United States of America is not in the best interest of the New World Order. This next letter comes from A.V. I don't know where he's from. Oh, Anthony in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Okay, Anthony, thank you. Just a short note to let you know that I particularly enjoy William Cooper's radio show on your shortwave network. The Hour of the Time is both thought-provoking and informative. Please continue this type of programming and this show in particular. Also, may I please have a program guide if possible? Signed, Anthony in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Anthony, thank you very much. Also, Anthony made a sizable contribution to make sure that this program gets on 5 nights a week, 1 hour a night, immediately following Tom Valentine. And Anthony, thank you very much. I'm going to receive something in return for that. Let me see. Let's go on to the next letter. I'm trying to get as many of these letters read as possible. And I didn't pick these letters out, folks. I just grabbed a big pile right off the table. They haven't been sorted. I don't know what they're going to say. I haven't read any of them, in fact, the ones that I'm reading tonight. This is from Buenos Aires, Argentina. And who is this? Carlos. Well, that's anonymous enough. I don't think anybody will know who Carlos is if I say he's from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dear Mr. Cooper, a couple of months ago, I had an American friend of mine order a copy of your book, Behold a Pale Horse, for me, and now I finally got hold of it. I'm halfway through the book at the moment. I'm deliberately reading it slowly because it's rather taxing on the mind and emotions. And that it is, folks. I feel there are several issues here that I was somehow already aware of, views shared by a great many people at that. But this is the first time it has all been laid before my eyes so poignantly. I entirely sympathize with your crusade against falsehood, manipulation, and dictatorship. However, I think you should not limit your scope to the U.S. alone, since this is a world problem. And Carlos, you're absolutely right. I hope you were listening a few moments ago. I'm not intentionally shirking my obligation to the world, because my goal is freedom for the world. But you have to understand that if this nation falls, because we couldn't wake the sheeple and the cattle that travel in herds across this country and go wherever the shepherd or the herdsman points them, if we can't wake them up, if this country falls, if the Constitution falls, then you're going to be a slave. No matter where you live in the world, that's the truth of the matter. You see, only the citizens of this country, the United States of America, can turn it around at this time. No one else has the freedom or the power or the method to do it. We do. So that's why I'm concentrating here. Now, I will be airing programs that concern everybody in the world, and many of you listening across the oceans and north and south of us will be really happy to hear some of the programs that we have planned in the future. So keep listening. He says, I'm sure there would be millions of people in Latin America who would go to your lectures and buy your book. Perhaps you ought to contemplate having your book translated and giving a series of lectures with an interpreter. Would you be interested in my translating Behold a Pale Horse? I certainly would, Carlos, and you will receive a letter back. I could also put you in touch with competent interpreters. And you probably know, Henry Kissinger came to Buenos Aires a few weeks ago to meet with the president and a bunch of outstanding politicians and powerful men. Both the media and the public are painfully misinformed about this man. Your lectures and the Spanish version of your book would change that, among other things. In case you decide to give a thought to my proposition, I think I should say something about myself. I graduated as an... Well, I better not do this, because I don't want to give away who he is. It might cause him problems in his country. So, while reading the book, I found certain things I don't understand. For instance, you say that the Bilderberg Group is trying to wipe out what you would consider minorities in a country like the U.S., i.e. blacks, Hispanics, etc. However, Terrence Todman, the American ambassador to Argentina, is black and allegedly a member of the CFR. As I read in the appendix on page 95, you say that the headquarters office of this group is in The Hague, Switzerland. But The Hague is in Holland. Did you mean Geneva? What is the difference between Masons and Freemasons? But now I have another question. Is the Bilderberg Group or the CIA behind the outbreak of racism in Germany? Whether my proposition appeals to you or not, I would greatly appreciate receiving a reply. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and then I will answer those questions on the air. Carlos, thank you for asking them. And folks, don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short pause. About myself. I graduated as an, well, I better not do this because I don't want to give away who he is. It might cause him problems in his country. So, while reading the book, I found certain things I don't understand. For instance, you say that the Bilderberg Group is trying to wipe out what you would consider minorities in a country like the U.S., i.e. blacks, Hispanics, etc. However, Terrence Todman, the American ambassador to Argentina, is black and allegedly a member of the CFR. As I read in the appendix on page... welcome back to the Hour of the Time, folks. Just a little ditty there to let you know what I think of all of you out there listening. And I sincerely mean that. Let me get back to Carlos's letter here because I want to answer these questions. He said, while reading the book, I found certain things I don't understand. For instance, you say that the Bilderberg Group is trying to wipe out what you would consider minorities in a country like the U.S., i.e. blacks, Hispanics, etc. However, Terrence Todman, the American ambassador to Argentina, is black and allegedly a member of the CFR. Well, folks, as I said in my book, in fact, I wrote a whole chapter on Global 2000, the origination of AIDS and its purpose. There is a racial component to the group that wants to rule the world. And they have decided that blacks, Hispanics, and some other people in the world are what they call useless eaters. Now, I don't agree with that. Don't write me a letter and say I'm racist. I don't agree with that. I did not come up with the policy. I did not invent AIDS. I did not put it out to kill people. I'm just telling you that this is what I have discovered in my research. That it's true. And all of us have to band together and stop this. They also use people. You'll notice that there are Freemasonic lodges in black neighborhoods that have all black membership, but you will not find blacks in Freemasonic lodges which have white membership. It's a racist organization. Yet blacks support it by having Masonic lodges in their communities and going to their Masonic meetings and reporting to the hierarchy, which is always white, which is always... people who descend from the nobility of the old world. Now, there is a racist bent to this. And as I told you before, folks, the New World Order is going to be a totalitarian socialist government. It's the same thing that Hitler had. Hitler was a socialist. Nazi means national socialism. So understand that the same thing that happened in Hitler's Germany will happen the world over if these people come to power. We must stop them at all costs. I abhor racism in any form. In any form. Doesn't mean I won't criticize certain people for some of their actions occasionally when their actions are wrong. But yes, they are, and it doesn't make any difference if Terrence Todman is black. Terrence Todman is being used and doesn't even understand what's going on. And not everybody in the United States government is a member of this group that is trying to take over and control the world. You have to understand it's not the American government bringing this about. It's not the United States government. It's the members of these secret societies, the followers of what's known as Mystery Babylon, who have infiltrated our government and your government in the other governments of the world and are subverting the sovereignty of nations to bring about the New World Order. Carlos goes on to say, on page 95, you say that the headquarters office of this group is in The Hague, Switzerland, but The Hague is in Holland. Did you mean Geneva? What is the difference between Masons and Freemasons? That was a, I don't know how it happened in the editing, but I had originally written in the book that the headquarters of the Bilderberg Group was in The Hague and in Switzerland. And somehow in the editing of the book, "and in" got left out, and it came out The Hague, Switzerland. I know The Hague is not in Switzerland, and so does everybody else. It is an unavoidable error. Unfortunately, my publisher is operating on a shoestring, and so am I. So we, neither one of us, have the money to redo the plates and correct some of these small errors in the book. That's the biggest error that I've ever found in the book, folks. And the difference between Masons and Freemasons, none. They're both the same. Masons is just short for Freemasons. Now, that doesn't mean that a person who practices the craft of stonemasonry or bricklaying is a member of a secret society. Most of them are not. And the Freemasons, as many claim, did not start out as a local trade yokel, that's right, as a local trade union of stonemasons or bricklayers in Europe. Nope, not at all, folks. That's not where they came from. In fact, Freemason is misleading because it comes from the French free maçon, which literally means the sons of light, and that's the true interpretation. The light, of course, is the sun, the ancient worship of Baal, Lucifer, also known as Satan. And he says, but now I have another question. Is the Bilderberg Group or the CIA behind the outbreak of racism in Germany? The people who are trying to bring about the New World Order, yes, are aiming for a resurgence of German nationalism, of fascism. The New World Order will be totalitarian socialist in nature. That's exactly what Hitler's regime was, a marriage of the corporate state with the state of government and the suppression or repression of the people. So, thank you, Carlos, for your pointed questions. I hope I've answered them to your satisfaction and to the satisfaction of anybody else who may have wanted to know about that. While I'm at it, I get a lot of letters from people who want to know, Bill, what about the aliens? What are we going to do about the aliens? Well, folks, I don't know how this happens, but every time I've ever given a lecture, I've always said, hey, there's a possibility that the information that I saw when I was in Naval Intelligence was planted there to make me believe in aliens, so that I would help spread the alien threat philosophy so that people would welcome the one world government. I've always said that. Now, in the beginning, I didn't really believe that that was true. I believed that what I had seen in Naval Intelligence, the documents that said that all of this stuff is alien in origin, I believed that it was true then, as anybody would who saw top secret documents while in the service of their country and participated in briefings of high-ranking military and government personnel about those documents. I don't think there's anybody who wouldn't have believed them. And if I hadn't set out on a search for the truth for over the last 20 years and found out what the truth really was, then I probably would still believe it. But I don't believe it now. And for those of you who never read my book, it's been out for 2 years now. Okay, my book has been out for over 2 years now, and people still haven't read the book. And people call me and say, for instance, here's one good one they're always saying. Bill, you're totally discredited. Your book is a piece of trash because in there you said that Adam Weishaupt wrote Wealth of Nations. Folks, that's not what it said. In fact, I'll quote to you right now, right out of my book. It says, Adam Weishaupt published Wealth of Nations in 1776. And that's exactly what he did. That means he put up money to have an edition of the book published. I never said that he wrote it. Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nations. But people either see what they want to believe and not read what people really say. Some people skip through my book and just read sections that interest them, not realizing that this is a book that has to be read from cover to cover in order for you to understand what's going on, because everything in here relates to everything else. And another one is, oh, Bill, wow, you wrote all about the aliens, and I believe this and that and everything. What I wrote, folks, is what I saw in top secret documents while I was in Naval Intelligence, and a lot of information that's been released through the Freedom of Information Act, and information that was dug up by other people, all of whom were given credit in these sources at the back of the chapter called The Secret Government. That's what research is. Okay? Now, if all of that is true, then this chapter, The Secret Government, folks, is probably closer to the truth about extraterrestrial visitation to the Earth than anything else that's ever been written. But if that is disinformation, if that originally has been put out, if people like me, and I'm not the only one who saw those documents, folks, Linda Moulton Howe saw them, another guy named Bill English says he saw them. Our investigation into him shows that he's a total phony in the background that he has given us, because he was not a captain in the Green Berets. In fact, he was never in the Green Berets. He was never an officer, period. He was a cook, and his secondary MOS was line stringer, communications wire stringer. And he never worked for NSA in England, and he was never married, never had a wife and children in England. We've proven all of this. We've dug it out. But the information that he says he saw was exactly the same information that I was shown. Linda Moulton Howe was shown the same top secret documents by a counterintelligence operative of the Air Force Office of Special Investigation at the AFOSI building at Kirtland Air Force Base years ago. So someone wants us to believe in this extraterrestrial threat. Well, I caught on to this after a while. And if you'll read my book, instead of glancing through and reading what you want to read or what you think you agree with, read the whole thing, whether you agree with it or not, you need to know what's in this book. At the end of chapter 12, I listed 5 possible conclusions to the information in this chapter. And number 5, I'm going to read to you verbatim right now, so that you'll understand where I come from. Number 5, quote, "There is always the possibility that I was used, that the whole alien scenario is the greatest hoax in history, designed to create an alien enemy from outer space in order to expedite the formation of a one-world government. I have found evidence that this could be true. I have included that evidence in the appendix. I advise you to consider this scenario as being probable." Unquote. Now, I'll grant you extraterrestrials may be real. They may be visiting the Earth, folks. But all the evidence that I can find in my research and investigations is all of this stuff is of human origin to create an artificial alien threat from outer space, so that you will be willing to give up your rights or anything else that you have to give up in order to face that threat. Understand? I sure hope you do. It's important that you understand that. Okay, next letter. This was to WWCR. "I'm sending this letter to express my opinion that William Cooper's The Hour of the Time is one of my favorite programs on your station, and I request that you please keep it on the air. I find Bill Cooper's program to be food for thought. I sincerely hope you ignore any harsh letters from unfair critics who may be affiliated with the Stell Group. Mr. Cooper spoke of them on his November 30th program, and how one of them wrote a libelous article about The Hour of the Time in his book, Behold a Pale Horse." It's talking about my reference to Lars Hansen, who was reared in the Stell Group and wrote a lot of lies and libelous things. And we filed suit in federal district court in Atlanta, Georgia, against Mr. Lars Hansen, and he disappeared, despite the fact that in his libelous writings and ramblings, he said that he was hoping that we would sue him so that he could get all of this stuff into court. Well, it turns out that we did sue him, and Mr. Hansen is now on the lam trying to duck the service of the papers of the U.S. Marshal's office. So, anyway, that's about how that is. And this writer goes on to, "I haven't ordered the book or joined Kaji yet, but I'm concerned that a mystery school is trying to hound him off the air and take cheap shots at his program. I'm sure you feel the same as I do, but I thought I'd ought to write and show my concern about the Stell Group and its acts of libel and attempts at censorship. Now, folks, I don't know if the Stell Group was behind what Lars Hansen did or not. I just made reference to the fact that Lars Hansen was reared in a cult, a part of the mystery school known as the Stell Group. So let's not go blaming the Stell Group if we don't have any proof that they did it. We know Lars Hansen did it. He happened to be a member of the Stell Group for a large portion of his life. The show of November 30th, it goes on to say, the show of November 30th had some flutter in the first few minutes of the program, but it was still listenable. Could you please send a QSL card? It would be very appreciated. I close a self-addressed stamped envelope. Thank you, Danny." And he's in Tennessee. Danny's in Tennessee. Okay, on to the next letter here, folks. Try to get through as many of these as I can. And thank you all for your help. "Dear Bill, here is the SASE I told you I'd send. Please enclose and return the libelous document you mentioned. We're talking again about the Lars Hansen document. And the other one, we didn't know who wrote it, but offered a reward for their identity. By the way, that reward is still on, folks. From the description you gave, it sounds like the standard garbage from the debunkers of the UFO community, so that narrows it to about a dozen or so well-known bozos. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks again, and I'll soon be sending you a special report on secret societies around my locality. But for now, did you know that last year the U.S. Coast Guard seized a vessel, a yacht, from a Noriega henchman and owned by Noriega himself? The name of the alleged drug smuggling vessel was the Krill, K-R-I-L-L. Does that ring a bell? This is from Belton, Missouri. Man by the name of S. Thank you, S. And what do we got next here? Another one to WWCR. Hello, I wish to thank you and your radio station for broadcasting William Cooper's Hour of the Time. I find the program very enlightening, informative, and truthful. Me and my fellow employees have purchased shortwave radios just to be able to listen to Bill Cooper and WWCR. We just wish Mr. Cooper could be on more than once a week. WWCR always comes in 5, 9, and 20 here in Florida. Thank you, Robert, and that's from Florida. Okay, here's another letter. Thank you, Robert. Dear Bill, congratulations on the WWCR contract. You're an all-out, Dear Bill, congratulations on the WWCR contract. You're an all-or-nothing guy with God on your side. You can't lose. But step warily with these Radio Free America boys. They are the descendants of the old line anti-communist, fascist-oriented crowd used by the fledgling CIA in the 40s to legitimize clandestine and covert anti-communist action. An awesome book to read on the complex subject is called, and this is the title, folks, Blowback, about the CIA's actual recruitment of thousands of ex-Nazis and their subsequent illegal immigration en masse. The article about the first conflict in Somalia is enclosed. I'm going to read that in a minute. Open your eyes. Most important point of my letter is this. Bring loyal advertisers to WWCR and you become priceless. Ideas for advertisers, any survivalist-oriented organization, the NRA, Soldier of Fortune magazine, security project discounters, security product discounters, Backwoods Home magazine, Mother Earth News, High Times, anybody. Well, folks, Backwoods Home magazine is going to sponsor one program a month. I cannot ever be sponsored by the NRA simply because if you've been listening to this program, you know, folks, if you join the NRA, you have registered your guns, and I am against gun registration in any form. In fact, I believe that's why the NRA was originally formed, was to get Americans who traditionally would never consent to register their guns to put their name and address in a data bank of membership for the NRA. And you notice now that the stuff they send out is not about the constitutional issue. It's not about owning guns to protect ourselves from our own government should it become oppressive and to protect freedom. No, they're sending out literature saying, join the NRA, protect your right to hunt. So that ought to tell you how legitimate those people are. And remember, if you join the NRA, you have registered your guns. And if you're against gun registration, you better not do that. Oh, he goes on to say, you've really polished the show. Your character and nature shine right through. But you probably have pondered whether you should add more entertainment, more warning, or more raw data. Well, hell, cram it all in there. You're the best, signed Spencer. And he says he's graduating from college in 2 weeks. He says, what do you know? I'm educated. That's great, Spencer. Thank you. He also closed a good donation to keep this show going for the first 2 months on our new schedule. And thank you, Warren, for that contribution. This is from the New York Times. Shooting apparently accident. And the dateline is New York Times, Washington. But this was actually printed on 12/12/92, page A19 in the Kansas City Star. Here it is, folks. One day after French and American troops shot and killed two Somalis in the belief that the Somalis were trying to run a roadblock in Mogadishu, the Pentagon said Friday that the episode might have been an accident. According to the new account, the Somalis were riding in a van, not as the original version held. a truck. They were not armed with guns, though some knives were found in the vehicle after the incident. The Pentagon also acknowledged that the Somalis might not have tried to run the roadblock, but might have crashed into it when the van's brakes failed. And the Pentagon said it was possible that the Somalis were members of a family and not a fighting group. A teenage girl was among those riding in the van. The Pentagon also said that Marines joined the French in firing on the van, contrary to the original account. And you're going to see more of those incidents. And folks, it's not really anybody's fault. Those things happen in war when men are carrying guns. I know I fought in Vietnam, and unfortunately, innocent people get killed. Most of those incidents are accidents. People scared with their fingers on the trigger, not wanting to die themselves. Many instances fire when they should not. But when it's purposeful, it should be rooted out. And the perpetrators should, of course, be punished. Personally, I don't think we have any business in Somalia, and I believe that it is just another incident of establishing the power of the United Nations over sovereign nations. For this, like all the other things recently, is a first. It is the first time that the United States has intervened in a sovereign nation without being invited by any group or political party or government within that nation. So, once again, folks, another chink in the armor of sovereignty. In fact, the chink has grown so big that it's a huge hole now, and I would doubt very seriously if the concept of sovereign nations would stand in a court of law after all the recent happenings that have, well, tell you the truth, it's just done away with the concept of national sovereignty. The invasion of Panama, many other things, the intervention in the Middle East, the ruling by the Supreme Court that the United States could go and kidnap anybody in another country and bring them here for trial, all illegal, all unconstitutional, all against international concept of the sovereignty of nations and the law of the world. But if you go read the UN Charter, you'll find that none of that stands up there. And there are no protections for individual rights. There is no Bill of Rights. How do you like that? Well, we're getting toward the end of the show here, folks. So I'm going to read one more letter, and then we're going to talk about some things, and then we're going to say goodnight. Dear Mr. Locke, this was to WWCR. I'm addressing this letter to you in reference to the William Cooper radio show, Hour of the Time. I would like to address my pleasure with his show. I find that it is a very informative and creates one to think. I just happened to stumble upon one night, and since then have been turning the radio dial to his show. I hope that his radio program will continue to inform and educate. Thank you, Steve, from Hicksville, New York. So we'll do one more. I'm writing in full support of Bill Cooper's Hour of the Time. I and my whole family are regular listeners and believe Mr. Cooper's message to be one of the most important of the 20th century. He believes in God, country, and family, and tells the truth as he sees it. His show is the only show I tune into on your station, but because of this one show, your station now is my full support. I am a member of a civilian intelligence organization and the publisher-editor of my own newspaper. If Cooper's show is ever cut from your broadcast schedule, I nor any of my friends, family, or associates will ever support your station again. Please forgive my tone, but this is a serious matter. Thank you for carrying Bill's show, and God bless. Sincerely. And that's from Warren. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to go down back to a previous one back here where they criticized the Radio Free America. I listened to Tom Valentine and Radio Free America, and while I believe in many instances Tom Valentine is a little bit naive, I believe he's right on track and he is helping America become informed. So I suggest, just like always, that you listen to everyone, believe no one, unless you can substantiate it in your own research. Please do that. It's imperative that you not be fooled anymore by these people. Now we're going to ask you for your help. As you know, we are now on 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, here on 7.435 kilohertz, WWCR Worldwide Shortwave, immediately following Tom Valentine. We can't afford this airtime, folks. You're going to help us pay for it for at least the first 2 months until we can get this show off the ground and make it self-supporting. My family's putting every penny we have into this. We're selling most of our worldly possessions, and if necessary, I'll go out and dig ditches or do whatever I have to do to make this work. But we're asking for your help. Please get out your checkbooks now. Make it out to WWCR. Send as much as you possibly can. Send it to me, William Cooper, Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. That's Post Office Box 3299, Camp Verde, Arizona, 86322. Please do that now. Send check or money order made out to WWCR only. Please do not send cash. We don't want any problems. We don't want anything to get lost. We don't want anybody accused of being dishonest. If you write and say you sent cash, we're not going to pay any attention to you because we just told you right now not to do it, okay? People do that. And some of them are getting away with murder, and because of my good nature, I usually let them do it. But I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay, folks? Please don't send cash. Send check or money order made out to WWCR only. Not to me, not to anybody else. It's going to pay for airtime. We need 2 months advance airtime to make this show work. After that 2 months, we believe it'll be self-supporting. We'll have sponsors. We will not take a sponsor whose product we don't believe in or wouldn't recommend or use ourselves. In the meantime, until we get all the sponsors that we need, folks, and we have one, Backwoods Magazine is going to sponsor one show per month. We have another sponsor that wants to remain anonymous that is going to take one show per week. We have another one, the Pilot Connection, is going to take one show per week. That still leaves 3 shows every week that we either got to sponsor or pay for in some way. Now, when we were doing it just once a week, it was a big burden on this family, and we barely made it. But I believe that there's enough of you out there who want to see this happen that you will help support this show for the first 2 months. After that, we believe sincerely that it will be self-supporting and we won't have to do this again. Okay, I'm looking into some distributorships of some products that we presently use so that we can sell these things in the air. We'll have some books that we'll be able to pick up at some low prices and be able to offer on the air that we believe that everybody should read. From now on, if this works, and we believe that it will, we'll be coming to you immediately following Tom Valentine, and we'll be on 1 hour each night, 5 nights a week. Please, folks, wish us luck. Say a little prayer for the hour of the time, and tune in. Until then, good night, and God bless each and every one of you.